James chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, believers in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "Let you stand there or sit at the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear friends and sisters, brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking it, all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you've become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm so thankful for that last phrase of that reading, because I think we've all failed in this regard at some point in our life. They had a problem, obviously, in the new church, and that was, this is a general epistle. This is written to many churches, and so it's not a problem with just one church, but it was a problem with many churches that there are so many people coming to the Lord, and it's mostly house churches, that people are having to crowd in. And so James, in writing what true faith looks like, talks about the fact that what's needed for practical love is for people to not show favoritism to those who are rich. And I have as my opening illustration a story on myself about when I went to the Congo for Advent Christian General Conference. First of all, I went into South Africa and I stayed at a hotel there for a couple of days till my flight went to the Congo. And from the hotel, I went to a corner shop to get something to eat. And I went into the corner shop, and I was the only white person there. I went over to the counter, and I went over the cooler and got something. And I went to get in line, a long line of people. And all the people there looked at me, and they all stepped aside and said, "You go up." And I was dumbfounded. It was kind of one of my first lessons on the golden rule, which is he who has the gold rules. And all of the people, all the black people that said, "Come on up, go up first, don't wait in line, you're rich, you're white." And the guy at the counter, the clerk, he waved me up like this, so I was not ready for this test of my faith. And I didn't want to wait in line, so I went right to the front of the counter, and then I grieved about it all the way back to the hotel. Then I flew into Kinshasa and took a small puddle jumper plane with Hiwa Bora Air into Lubumbashi. That's like another 1,500 to 2,000 miles on the other side of the Congo in Central Africa. And I'd been in Lubumbashi for a day or two having meetings and meeting with pastors. Then my guide said, "We've got to go into the city to the office because we've got to secure your return seat." And I said, I already paid for my return seat. He said, they'll sell it if you don't go in and give them something. So I said, let's go. And so we went in, and there was the office, and the office was a little, maybe a third bigger than this room, and it was just crammed with people. Crammed with people who were waiting to secure their ticket on whatever plane. And when we stepped in, I could see, you know how you come to a bureaucracy and you have this sinking feeling like, I know what I'm doing for the next few hours. Well, I thought, this is going to be, I don't know, are we going to get through this today? And I didn't say anything, but my guide said, everybody looked in and like went, double take, fat white guy. And my guide said, blah, 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 which I, and not knowing anything but English, I was given the gift of translation, interpretation, and I thought he's saying, fat white guy. And it was like Moses parting the Red Sea. Every person let me cut line. And I felt super guilty, but I went right to the desk. And because I had meetings to be at, you know, I had been flown by Advent Christian General Conference to Lubumbashi, which, how many of you have ever been to Lubumbashi? How many of you ever heard of Lubumbashi? So I was there to meet with pastors and churches, but I've thought since then, you know, if I had said to my translator, I'll wait my turn, 150 to 200 people would have gone home from that airline office that day, and they would have said, you know what? I saw a white Christian today. Wouldn't they? He said, I saw a guy, we all said he could go ahead, and he said, I'll take my turn. I missed an opportunity. See? So I know that I don't want to stand here and preach God's word and say this is something that's never touched me or something I've always been perfect at. But we have a challenge in our church. It's not a challenge today because summer's seating is not a problem, parking's not a problem because summer's here, right? But we know it's going to be a problem on rally day because we've already got some people that are excited about rally day and all the special events that will happen and the advertising and getting the Sunday school rolling, and we're thinking ahead about rally day. And you know, for last Sunday, seating was an issue, parking was an issue, and our church has been growing about 18% last year, about 12% this year. So we need to think about where we're going to put people, or we need to think about where we're going to step, where we're going to sit ourselves. And I know that this doesn't sound much like preaching, but somehow it got into the Bible, where you sit. It was a practical application of love your neighbor as yourself. That's his text from Leviticus 19. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's one of the big ones. You know, I was in Charlotte working for the denomination. My boss was Ron Thomas, and he said to me, we're going to be reconsidering our motto for the denomination. You know, maybe if we had a new motto, things would turn around. You know what our motto is? The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. I said, you can't improve on those mottos. You know, putting something different on the letterhead is not going to fix us. And Jesus told us, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And the great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. That's here in James, and the application of that is, hey, I know you're crowded, but when you're all gathered to worship, don't treat the fat white people special. That you've got to have a real fellowship in your church. Now, I told Noelle I was going to tell a story on her today, and she's not here to defend herself. Woohoo! Now, I think my wife is one of the nicest people I know, which is fortunate for me. I have seen her in under stressful situations be like Jesus Christ. But I've also seen her looking for parking in the Walmart parking lot. Yeah, I've been driving, you know, and I go to park. That's too far from the door. Now, she will go and get on a treadmill and walk for a half an hour on a treadmill and going nowhere. And she's concerned about walking 16 more feet in the Walmart parking lot. No, don't. There's one closer. Look, there's one opening up. You drive down there. And some other person is heading towards it before you. You see, it's a little old lady, you know. And I know that good godly people can love their pew and love their parking spot. We've got to do better. You know, I confessed to you I failed on this when I was in the Congo. But just because I failed, it's like sanctification. I failed. I don't want to keep on failing. We've had times we've failed. We don't want to keep on failing. We want to be like Jesus, right? He who would follow Jesus must walk, John tells us. We must walk as Jesus walked. Now, when you've got a little baby and they're just starting to walk, you expect them to fall, right? You expect that. So you don't say, stupid baby. You say, oh, he took 3 steps. And he's all just proud as he can be. And does he want to keep trying? Yes, he wants. That's us following Christ. I know we're going to fall. Even after we've been Christians a long time. Listen, I have been walking a long time. And last Sunday, I went, after the baptism, I went to change. I went through the garage, and my sister-in-law had given me her, she's a widow, she'd given me her husband's welder, and I'd set that by the door in the garage. And the garage was dark, and I walked through, and I banged my shin on the welder and fell over it onto my hands like this. I was so thankful not to break my wrist. I thought, I could have broken my wrist. So even though I'm all grown up, I still trip and fall. But I don't want to. Now, I changed my clothes. I got a shower. I got a shower and changed my clothes. And going back out, I tripped over the same welder. You want to see the boo-boos? I don't blame you. They're big honking boo-boos on my shin. Same shin. Just because I fell before. You know what I did? I moved the welder. Just because we haven't always been like Jesus doesn't mean we don't want to be like Jesus. And so when people come, we want them to have a place to sit. And I want to plan ahead. I know we don't have a plan for seating. So I thought of a plan. You don't have to do it. Free society. Free society, but here's my big plan I've thought of for seating. Everybody that's born on the 1st through the 7th of any particular month. Now, who would that be? Anybody here born on your birth date is the 1st to the 7th? On September, the first Sunday of September, I think that's the 3rd. All those born in the first quarter of the month will sit downstairs if you'd like to. You don't have to if you don't want to. And on Rally Day, the next Sunday, we'll have already tried it out. We'll have had a dry run on the 3rd. Then everybody on Rally Day, September 10th, that's born the 8th through the 14th, who's that? Anybody here? Some of you are born on the 8th. All that crowd can sit downstairs, and we won't have to buy any more seating. And then if that works, if it doesn't work, we've got a board meeting, and I will hear all about it. If it works, maybe we'll have a way in order to be able to say, you come and have a seat. You come in, and we've got lots of room for you. And we'll be able to continue to reach out, you know. The Great Commission is great because it said all nations. And I've used this for children's story before. Those of you who've been here a while, you may remember a children's story I had with a glass and a pitcher of water. And I said, and I had a pan here, and I poured the pitcher of water into the glass, and I say, we think when the glass is full, our mission's accomplished. That's how we feel about church. If the church is full, then hey, we must be doing something right. But Jesus has told us to save not only the whole pitcher, but all the water going down over the waterfalls. So we've got to think not just about us four, no more. You know that prayer? God bless me, my wife, our son, his wife, us four, no more. Amen. We've got to think about more than us four, no more. Because we are part of the Great Commission. That's our job, to think about 200,000 people in southern Maine. And we've got to be creative. We've got to be creative about parking. You wouldn't believe the grand idea I've got about parking. Those of you that can and would like to park in behind the fire department or at the library, you know, if I were to ask you for a $5,000 gift, you'd say, you're cheeky. But if you thought every time I sit, every time I park in behind the fire department or at the library, I'm creating a parking spot. And a parking spot, you know, I think it's reasonable to say a parking spot for our little church and our little parking lot is worth $5,000 over the course of a year. And if you park there somewhere else every Sunday, it's like giving $100 to the church every week. Just parking somewhere else. And I would like to see a parking committee. I'd like to see people, I'd like to see God call, because it's better if God calls than if I call. I'd like to see God call people to use their gift of hospitality. Some people have the gift of hospitality, and we have some with the gift of hospitality that meet people at the door. I'd like to have some God lay their hand upon someone with the gift of hospitality to greet people in the parking lot and say, can I park your car for you and begin the positive blessing right outside, so that it takes what is a problem. I can't park. You know, if people are just thinking about, shall I go to church? Shan't I go to church? If they swing through the parking lot and there's no place to park, they're going to go to Gonville's. Right? They're going to go to McDonald's. You said they should be more committed. Yeah, well, you should be more committed. I should be more committed. And I know that doesn't sound much. Does that sound like love? But if someone comes and they're driving in the parking lot and they think, I wonder, and they find someone there saying, hi, I'm so glad you came to church. And can I help you find a parking spot? We've got spaces right up here by the parsonage. And you can park one in front of the other and fill that up so that you can block off everybody. I don't mind if you block everybody off. But we've got a place for you. And I don't know about cups of coffee in a parking lot. That may be too, it may be a bridge too far. But we've got to think ahead. Because it's easy to find a seat today. But it's too late to think about these things on September 10th. Do you know what I'm saying? We've got to be ready before that time comes if we're going to make space available for those who come to seek the Lord. Now I'm trying to see what I left out of my sermon here. I think I've covered the most of it. People can tell if you're happy to have them here or not. I'm praying you get your heart lined up so that you're actually happy to see that you've got a problem finding seat or a problem finding parking. So may the Lord help us in this.